You come around, preach to us about 30 minutes. I love you, son. Praying for you.
It's a privilege and honor to be back in the Lord's house. Privilege and honor to be here, be able to preach the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, we turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 31. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 31. I want to preach for a few moments, the Lord being our helper on our speech, talking about our words, talking about what we say and things about that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. If you found your place, if you would, please stand. Reverence in the Word of God. Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Thank you. You may be seated. I'm talking about our speech this morning, about the things that we say. In our society today, there is a trend that is coming about where there is less and less emphasis placed upon the things that we say. Men can say whatever they want and they can get by with it. People can do and say words and just say them and throw them out there, and there's no emphasis placed on those words. Their words have no value. They can say things and not uphold what they say. They can tell lies publicly. They can tell lies from pulpits. They can tell lies from podiums and not blink an eye. Things do not value. People do not value speech or words. Our speech has become that of vanity. That is why preaching has lost its power, because our words do not hold any power. Our words do not hold any value no more. People can just say anything they want to say and live any way they want to live, and nothing else matters. But I'm here to tell you today that God still holds value in words. God still holds value on the things that are said. God still holds value. You used to be a day when someone told you something, you could count on that. Used to be a day when someone held up to their word. Nowadays, there's got to be signed contracts that's got to be legalized, notarized, for someone to uphold what they say. But I'm here to tell you, God is a man of his word. God has always been about speech. God has always been about what he says, and he upholds what he says. The greatest attribute of God is not that he gives, but that he holds to the words that he says. If God tells you something, he will keep that word. You can guarantee that. He's faithful to his word. That is the greatest attribute of God. God still holds words to a high degree. You may be throwing words around today and saying things and not meaning nothing by them, but I want to tell you, God still holds words to a high value and a high degree. He holds our speech to such a high degree that in verse number 36, he tells us that there's coming a day when man will give an account for every idle word. Not just words that are spoken behind pulpits, not just words that are spoken in podiums, in great oratories, or in great places, but God said, your meaningless talk, Your talk that doesn't have nothing, he said you're going to be judged by that. Talk that just you're passing by one another. Talk by which the congregation says, just passing by. God said, I'm going to judge every idle word of man. That's how high value God holds our speech to. And if God holds that to value, if God holds that to high esteem, I believe today we better watch what we say. I believe today we better value the things that are said. We better value what you say, because what you say, God's writing them down. What you do, God's giving it, God's making it to where one of these days you're going to give an account for the things that you say. I want to tell you, this world's got to a place where you get out there in the workplace and every other word is cuss this and cuss that. Every other word is just filth and dirt. I want to tell you something today. God's keeping a record of everything that's said and everything that's done. And we're going to give an account for that. But I'm here to tell you, God has done that. God has been that. God is a word God. He's a God that values words. When he decided to create the universe, whenever he decided to create this world, he didn't get an architect to plan it out and to draw it out. You know what he decided to do? He said, I'm going to speak the words. And he said it was. That's how much he values words. That's how much power is given to words. When God decided to show the world who he was, when God decided to give us a picture of himself, you know what he did? He wrapped it in flesh. And he put it in a manger in Bethlehem. And he named him Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, there is so much value on words, we have no idea today. God places that much value in words. God said that Jesus was the Alpha and the Omega. That means that everything God has to say is embodied in Jesus Christ. His words are that important. You know what? When God decided to reveal himself to you, he didn't give you a dream. He didn't give you a sign in the clouds. He didn't write it on a water tower somewhere. He spoke to your heart. I'm here to tell you today that God values words. And we need to have that same value to what we say. Just not saying our words flippantly or just putting them out there or saying things and not keeping them. But I'm here to tell you, there's three things about our speech that I'm going to look at in this text and then we're going to be done. But there are powerful words. We see here that when God decided that he was not going to forgive a sin, there's one sin that God said, I'm not going to forgive. Whenever we look at that, if we was to say, what would be the one sin that would be the worst sin that God said, I'm not going to forgive? We would say it'd be an action of killing somebody or rape or murder. We'd say those things are awful. But you know what? God said the one sin that I'm not going to forgive is a sin that is committed by your mouth. Is a sin that is committed by your speech. What did he say there? And in first two verses I read to you, he said, all manner of sin shall be forgiven. Rapists, murderers, child molesters. He said, I'll forgive it all. He said, but there's one thing I'm not going to forgive. He said, those that blaspheme the Holy Ghost, speak a word against the Holy Spirit. He said, God even said there, he clarified it. He said, you can speak a word against the Father. He said, you can speak a word against the Son. But he said, if you speak a word against the Holy Ghost, he said, you shall not be forgiven. He said, not in this world or not in the world to come. I want to tell you something, there's power in that. We take our words as no value. Many people today hear preaching and they'll go their way and they just don't change their life. They don't, nothing happens because of that. But I want to tell you, God said the most heinous crime, the most heinous sin is that sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you, our mouth is something that God is something that we can use in a good way or we can use it in an evil way. We better watch what we say and how we say things. You know that old proverb people say, sticks and stones may hurt my bones or break my bones, but words can't hurt me. I don't tell you, words can hurt people. And words have power. What you say about people. I'm here to tell you today, there's people out here, they're biting and devouring one another. They're running people down, talking about people behind their back and stuff. And we're using our words in such a manner that we're not taking anything, any thought of what it's doing to people's lives. But our words have power today. God said the greatest sin that can ever be committed is that sin of our speech. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. There is power in our words. Not only that, but there is reflection in our words. What did he say there in verse number 33? He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now, putting this into context, he's talking about the fruit of our lips. He's talking about the fruit of our speech. What he is saying is, that by the way that you speak, we can know who you are. We can know they're a reflection of what you truly are. I'm going to tell you something today. This world has got us scared to death with that little phrase that Christians are not supposed to judge people. I want to tell you, the Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And when God said, judge ye not, else ye be judged, he's not talking about passing judgment. Let me put it in frame of reference today. We can know who people are by the way that they talk. It shouldn't take you long to know whether somebody's saved or whether they lost, whether they know God or whether they don't know God by the way that they talk. And I'm going to tell you, that's not judging somebody, because the Bible tells us that God is the only one that can judge. Let me put it in retrospect for you. If a man commits murder, if a man takes and slays another man's life, well, he goes to a court of law. He stands before a jury of his peers, and that man is convicted of that murder. He serves his time. And he gets out of jail. All right, me and that man pass by on the street. I look at that man and I say, that's a murderer right there. Am I judging that man? No, I'm not. He's already been judged. Is that not right? I can tell by what he is, by the judgment that's already been passed upon him. I'm here to tell you, you can tell people by what they are, and you're not judging them. Don't let the world scare you by that. You can examine them by the word and find out who they are. If you talk the way the world is, and if you speak the world's language, I'm here to tell you, you're of the world. I don't care if you say, hey, I've been saved, I'm a Christian, I love God. I don't care what you say. He says there, you're known by the fruits of your lips. We've got a generation of people that are coming up in God's house that can come into the house of God and wave their hands toward heaven and say, thank God for saving me, and go out in the world and live any way they want to live. Let me tell you something, it don't fly with God. It does not fly with God, because a tree will bear fruit of what it is. You're not going to go out to a peach tree and get apples, are you? And you're not going to go in the house of God from God's people, and you're not going to get the fruit of God from that. You're going to get that fruit that God had. But we see reflective words. We can know by what a person says. It doesn't take long to me to find out who you truly are if you just listen to somebody. You know, we don't take much value in our words. I want you to start listening to people's testimony. Start listening to what people say more. What they say is truly what they are. We've got this idea in our head we can raise our hand. The terminology that we use, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing this junk about the terminology we use. How many people raise their hand and say, I got saved? You know what? I never got saved anytime, anywhere. God saved me. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. I did not rescue myself. God rescued me. We got to get our terminology right. Whenever we say, I got saved, we're putting ourselves in there. We're saying we had a part in it. We had something to do with it. And anybody that runs around and that's all they say, You better check up on where you are. But not only that, and lastly, we see a word from the heart. He says there, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We see a word from the heart. Words are a reflection of our heart, where our heart truly is. And in our generation, there is a trend that is coming into our Baptist churches where people can raise their hands and repeat after me and say a prayer, and that'll save them. I want to tell you something, that's out of hell. I want to tell you, that never saved nobody. You say, preacher, explain to me, help me out here. Well, I'm here to tell you, when God deals with somebody, He didn't choose somebody else as an avenue to put words in your mouth to say that words to that to happen for you to be saved. What God said is, God said, I'll work inside a man's heart. He said, I'll draw them. I still believe in praying through, don't you? I still believe in groaning in spirit and letting somebody get a hold of God. I understand people need counseling and need help, but I believe if somebody's going to be saved, they're going to be saved, and they're going to know exactly what to do when they get in that altar. They're not going to need you to repeat after me and pray this and pray that. They're going to know exactly what to do. You say, preacher, what are we doing? You know what that, the Bible tells us that them Pharisees searched high and low. They searched high and low for someone that would follow after what they believed, and they made proselytes. And what did he say? He said he made them twofold sons of hell. I want to tell you, those people that have believed that they've been saved by a repeat after me prayer, and it never came out of their heart, never came from within their heart, never was something that God birthed within them, they're twofold sons of hell. They're twofold because, first of all, they're sinners bound for hell. And second of all, they've been given a false hope in some sign of card religion and believe after this and do. I want to tell you, when God saves somebody, He starts in the heart and then it comes out of their mouth. Then it comes and works in their life. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ draws men to be saved. And when God does that, I don't believe you ought to counsel nobody. I don't believe you've got this thing in your life where you say this and say that. The Romans Road, you can pitch all that junk into hell where it belongs. But you take the words that God puts in somebody's heart, and I want to tell you, they know exactly what to do whenever they get saved. I didn't have nobody to counsel me. Didn't have nobody to work on my heart and tell me, say this and say that, and you'll be all right and you'll be good. You know what? God was the one that spoke to my heart. And God was the one that showed me what to do. I believe today man's getting his hands dirty by trying to feel around this thing and take and do what we think ought to be done. We need to take our hands off of it and let God do the work. We need to let God do that work, because if God works on somebody's heart, God can work in such a way that He'll put the words in their heart. And when God works in somebody's life, He'll do that in such a way that they'll cry out, oh, God, save me. It's not a repeat after me. See, God said out of the abundance of the heart. When a man's heart gets right with God, when a man's heart does that what it needs to be, when a man's heart does that, he can't help but say the things of God. He can't help but speak what God has put in there. He can't help but say those things. But we've got this. We're creating robots. Repeat after me and say this and read this prayer and do this and do that. I don't tell you, it doesn't work. It never has worked. It never will work in God's eyes. I want to tell you something today out of the abundance of the heart. When God does a work in somebody's heart, He does it from within. I want to encourage you this morning. That's all I got. That's what God gave me. I want to encourage you this morning to be mindful of the things that you say. Be mindful of your speech. Be mindful of your words. I know a lot of people like to look in these pulpits and say, God's going to judge these preachers and what they say behind pulpits, but you better take Note that God's also going to judge your words that you're saying in them congregations too. He had every idle word. We need to take note. We need to get back to a day when our words mean something. Whenever our speech and our words, what we say, hold value. You know why people are leaving our Baptist churches and no change is being made and no change is being done? Because there's no value, no emphasis being placed on the things that we say. We need to get back to that in our heart and in our life. Thank you.